North Rock Podcast.
So we're in Summer of Love, number four, and this is our opportunity for 3 months out of the year to just be encouraged by God, to be challenged by God, to get outside of ourselves. Do you know that a large part of Christianity, of following Jesus, is getting stinking outside of the church building and outside of ourselves? If you don't believe me, read this famous little book I've encountered called the Bible. It is chock full of what Jesus says that our response can and should be and will be on this earth. And we say this all the time, we are God's plan A for this world, and he has no plan B. And so we're the agents, we're his ambassadors, we're the light of the world in this dark world. And so this Summer of Love is simply just being willing to get outside of ourselves, engage in relationships with people, let them be involved in our lives, get to know your neighbors. We've got some different things that we adopt as projects every summer. This summer, which has kind of become the main thing for us, you heard last week, and it was, if you missed last week, I really strongly encourage you to go on the website, northrockchurch.com, and listen to the podcast, because we talked about one of the most exciting things that we've ever done as a church, and it's a group that meets here in our church that, or not meets here in church, it's a group of people within our church that meet together, and through the relationships that they've built with some people in the city and with each other, North Rock Church has the opportunity to be a part of the very first emergency shelter for human trafficking victims here in Denver. It's very, very exciting. I know she doesn't want me to do this, but Kristen Harness is back in the back. Just wave at everybody, Kristen. She's back there with her husband. She is the leader of this, and she's got a bunch of people that have joined up with her. Talk to her if you want to be a part of that. This is one of I'm more excited about this than about anything else we've ever done here at this church. So Summer of Love 4, that's one of our main focuses is week by week talking about that and how you can be a part of that, how you can support it, how you can give, but also how you can serve in that as well. So really good stuff. That's why we do Summer of Love 4, because every summer God does something really, really profound in our lives, showing us how much he wants us to not just watch the game, but to be in the game. There's a huge difference between being a fan of Jesus and a follower of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be just a fan of Jesus. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to follow him where he wants to take me, because I know that that's how we experience the life abundant that he came to give us. So today I want to look at something in this whole realm of love. It's something that's not talked about a lot as a church. And I think it's an uncomfortable thing to maybe talk about. We live in a culture where it's so counter to what this is talking about. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 5. And you know, as a pastor, I wouldn't be a good pastor if all I did was talk about the things that people want me to talk about. The things that just make us happy and walk out of here and everything's good, we feel good about ourselves. If I'm to be a good pastor to this congregation, I got to step on some toes from time to time. I've got to challenge us to get outside of our comfort zones. I got to challenge us to change the way we think about certain things. I get nervous sometimes when I'm about to share something that God's put on my heart that might do one of those things. But at the end of the day, there's a fulfillment on really, really wanting to. Oh, she's clapping for me. Thank you. I appreciate that. She's sweet. Look how cute she is. But there's such a fulfillment on actually trying to really discover what the heartbeat of God is for us and for this world. And so this is one of those that I think can be a challenging thing for us. But I promise you, if you'll open up your hearts this morning, God will do this in a really good way with all of us. He'll challenge us in a good way, in a loving way. So let's look at this. Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 38. It says, "You have heard the law that says, the punishment must match the injury. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. If you are sued in court and your shirt is taken from you, give your coat as well. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it for 2 miles. Give to those who ask, and don't turn away from those who want to borrow. Verse 43, you have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, and these are the words of Jesus, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, now listen up here. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that, but you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Today's message is to the church. And how many of you know that a church is not a building, a church is us, it's people. We are the church. If you have a relationship with Jesus, guess what? You are the church. You don't go to church, you are the church. We are to be the church. And we do go to this congregation, we go to church to be together, we go to have community together and to learn and to be encouraged, but ultimately we are the church. And this is a message to the church, that we are to love our enemies. And when you think of the word enemy, you might instantly just think of, like in war, the person you're fighting against, and certainly that's part of it. But an enemy can be anybody that it's hurt you. Anybody that dislikes you, anybody that seeks harm for you or is trying to get the promotion above you, an enemy is a large number of people that we encounter on a daily basis. It may be someone you know, it may be someone on another continent that we don't know. And the law at this time when Jesus was teaching this said, you love your neighbors, but you hate your enemy. You get revenge on them, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Well, Jesus flipped that all completely upside down, didn't he? And he says, listen, this is the way I'm asking you to live. Someone slaps you on the cheek, you turn it and you give him the other one. When's the last time that's happened? Listen, we live in a culture, someone slaps you on the cheek, man, watch out, you're ready, right? Right? But here's what we do. We take a teaching like this, and we put our big butts on it. Let me tell you what I mean by that. We have a butt for so many things that Jesus says. Yeah, Jesus, I know you say to turn the other cheek, but you don't know what this person did to me. You don't know the whole story. God does know the whole story. And he still challenges us to love those who hurt us. Quit putting big butts on stuff. Quit changing it to adapt the way you want to live and the way that you want to see things happen. And this is the challenge to the church. When Jesus says, listen, if someone sues you, don't just give them what they want, give them even more. If someone asks you to help them, go the extra mile with them. These are the words of Jesus that he knows are going to bring life to us. It benefits both us and the people that we're helping, the people that we're reaching out to. The other day, I was on Facebook. Some of you are on Facebook, maybe some of you aren't. But as I was scrolling through the timeline on Facebook and seeing what different people have posted, and over the years I've accumulated a number of different Facebook friends from a number of different worlds, some within the church, some outside of the church, some young, some old, some Christian, some atheist. And I have to be honest, As I was looking through Facebook, I was grieved by what I was seeing and shocked at how much negative stuff was being posted by the church. Hateful things towards people that may be different than us. And I I just remember thinking, could this possibly be Jesus' intent? Could this possibly be how Jesus wants us to pursue this world and to view this world and to react to this world? Could he possibly want us to hide behind a computer and stand against people just because they believe differently than us, or because maybe we see a sin that's different from ours in their lives and we think we have to stand against them? Now, don't get me wrong. This isn't a sermon on standing against things that are wrong, that are evil, and standing for things that are right and true. It's not about that. It's about standing against people. You know, Jesus never did that. Jesus didn't stand against people, except for, and watch out because this could sting a little bit, except for religious people, except for people within the church, in the temple, the religious scholars, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, these people that thought that they were all clean, but on the outside they were, on the inside that they weren't. Jesus stood with people. And nowhere in Scripture, nowhere in the Gospels do I see anywhere where it says, you must stand against these people. Because what happens is then we are wasting our time when we could be standing with people. And that's what Jesus did, standing with people. Now, Jesus did stand against sin and injustice. He also stood against legalism. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, have we been commissioned to stand against people or to stand with people? I couldn't help to think of the words of Jesus when he said in John 3:17, I didn't come to condemn this world, but to save the world. And as I look at some of these Facebook posts, I'm just overwhelmed. I don't know what theology people are drawing from to bring such condemnation on those. And it's such to me, listen, let me be honest with you. I think it's a cowardly way to do things in this world. Because it's say, well, I'll just sit here and I'll make this statement on the internet. Because what it does is it takes the responsibility that God has put on us to not do that, but to go and stand with the people that so desperately need us in this world. To stand with those that may be out to hurt us. But the only way that we're ever going to reach them and make a difference in their lives is not to post something negative and make them mad. It's to come alongside them and tell them the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it's good news. Let me tell you something. If it's not good news, then it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I came with one purpose, to preach, to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus, to set the captives free. Sometimes I think as Christians, we're more interested in winning an argument than we are in winning a soul. And Jesus said, I don't condemn you, I've come to save you. And so if that's his approach, how could our approach be any different than that? And I'm telling you, I wanted to block and delete so many people because I just don't see anywhere in Scripture where our approach is to be hateful as a church just because we don't see it the same way as someone else. And the only chance we have in people's lives is to come alongside them, stand with them. You stand against them, you don't have a shot in the world. I've yet to see someone be on Facebook, oh wow, look at this Christian. Man, they really hate me. They really think that everything I'm doing is wrong. They're letting me know this. And so, wow, I'm just compelled to really turn my life around now. No. Do you know that God says it's through his kindness that we are led to repentance? It's not I'll kick you in the face and hope that's the motivation you needed to change and come over to our side. It's his kindness that leads to repentance. It's the love of God that changes things. How many of you are a Christian because someone was mean to you? How many of you, that was the thing, that someone was just awful to you? Now, I look at some of these Facebook posts, and I try to put myself in the shoes of someone that may not be a believer, and I look at these things, and I say, man, the church must hate me. You know, all that does is bring more condemnation and more shame and guilt. Don't go tell someone something that they already know. tell them something they don't yet know. And that is that God loves you and wants you to come to him exactly the way you are. Now, he loves you so much, he's not going to let you stay that way. But right now, Jesus is arms wide open, ready to embrace you right as you are. That's the message that we're to give to people. Man, we lead people to Jesus, not to religion and not to our plans, our agenda. We lead people to Jesus. He's the only one that's going to be able to change. The Bible says in John 15, clear as day, if you're not connected with me, nothing's going to happen. Apart from me, you can do nothing, it says right there. So how do we expect then our approach to be, well, I'm going to post these things, or I'm going to just, they're my enemies, so I'm going to stand against them, and hopefully they change. And I think what it comes down to is that we're not really seeking for them to change as much as we're seeking to be right. Man, you cannot be a follower of Jesus if you desire to be right all the time. You got to lay that down and say, I'd rather win a soul than win an argument. I'm not here to protest. I'm here to provide a way, the way, the truth, and the life that is Jesus Christ. I'm not here to boycott, but I'm here to befriend someone that needs that friendship in their lives. This world is, listen, let me tell you something. There is no shortage of hate and condemnation and judgment in this world. There's no shortage of it. So if you think someone needs that, you're wrong. They're getting enough of it already. Do you know what there is a shortage of? There's a shortage of people that are willing to be Jesus in their lives and stand with them and say, listen, we may not see things the same way, but I love you and I want you to know for the rest of the life, for the rest of our lives, for the rest of my relationship with you, I'm going to remind you of how much God loves you and is pursuing you and wants a relationship with you. It's easier to make a statement from a distance. It's easier to hide behind a computer. But I'm telling you, love almost always requires getting close to someone in some way or another. Look at what Jesus did. He came to us. He came to this world. He became a human being. He became one of us. Why? Because in issues of love, you go yourself. When I proposed to my wife, I didn't send someone. I didn't send someone with the ring and say, now when you get there, just get down on one knee and say, I come on behalf of Jeremy. Would you marry him? You know what she would have said? She'd say, no, I will not marry him. Because in issues of love, you go yourself, don't you? That's what Jesus did. He was came from heaven down to earth. He brought himself, and he offered himself as a sacrifice. There's something really wrong when people know more about what we're against as Christians than what we're for. There's something hugely wrong. There's something that's so grievingly wrong if people know more about what we're against than what we're for. Because our job is to let people know what we are all about and what they don't have, what we have to offer them, what the change that Jesus has made in our lives. Let me share a story with you. Some of you have heard this because I've talked about this before, but I think such a great illustration of this is when I went to my grandfather's funeral, and forgive me if you've heard this story, but many of you haven't. My grandpa was a chief of police in Spearfish, South Dakota. Anybody know where Spearfish, South Dakota is? Okay, we got some South Dakota people in here. Spearfish is really close to Sturgis, South Dakota, where there's the big biker rally every year. Thousands and thousands of people come through there. South Dakota in that area is somewhat of a mecca for Harleys and motorcycles, and that's a good thing, but it's also an area where the Hell's Angels, which is a big biker group, also come together a lot. And so my grandpa was responsible for putting hundreds of Hell's Angels into prison. Now, if there was anybody that could say, these are my enemies, it was my grandfather as the chief of police there in Spearfish, South Dakota. These Hell's Angels, they want to do whatever they want, and there's violence happening, there's murder, there's all kinds of things going on. And so he would, single-handedly, with his people, he would put them in prison. Now, here's where the story doesn't stop. After they were in prison, my grandpa would go and visit them. And every week, these people that he'd put in prison, these enemies of his, he would go in and he would share with them the love of Jesus Christ. So here I went to his funeral about 9 years ago. As I'm pulling up to the funeral, I noticed that there's this whole line of Harley Davidsons. And I'm thinking, why is there a biker gang at my grandpa's funeral? What's going on? Are they here to whatever, protest? I didn't know why they were there, to be honest with you, because he didn't tell us a lot of what he did. And so what happened at this funeral was they opened the eulogy up. And what that means is that anybody that wants to come up and talk about the deceased, talked about to honor the life of the person that we were there to honor and to celebrate, they could come up and do it. One after another, a biker would get up there, and almost all of them in tears would say, I used to be a Hell's Angel. And Clayton Pummel threw me in prison. But then he came and he visited me every week until I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I think that's it right there. That's what this is all about. That someone that's out to kill you, you know that a lot of these guys, we found out that when they were on their way into prison, you know what they tell my grandpa? They say, Clayton Pummel, when I get out, you're the first person I'm coming to look for. I'm going to find you. I'm going to kill you. And this was multiple times he said this. When he passed away, we went through his house and we found guns everywhere. They were hidden everywhere, in cereal boxes, in the back of a toilet, under wooden planks. We found guns everywhere. So he wasn't stupid. And let me tell you something. He was a tough man. If someone came to his house, he knew what to do. Let's just put it that way. But he also knew something that was very profound. I've heard this before, but this came up during this funeral. And that was, a lot of times we think, well, I'm just going to defend myself, and this is my enemy, so I'm gonna take them out, and that can be our motivation. But you know what I heard a missionary say one time? This missionary was attacked by these tribesmen with spears, and he had a gun on him. And as they were attacking him, something inside of him told him, do not grab your gun. And so they come and they're attacking him, and they're actually throwing spears, and I believe one of his friends died at the hands of one of these men. And so later on, he actually got out of there. I don't even know how he got out of there alive, but he got out of there alive. And he told the story, and people asked him, why, when you were being attacked, did you not pull your gun out and shoot them? You could have saved your friend. You could have saved yourself. And you know what his response was? This is what he said. He said, I'm ready to go. They're not. And his motivation was, listen, I could shoot my enemies and kill them, but is it my desire as a missionary to save their souls or to save my own life? And he put saving their souls above even his own life. And that's what Jesus did for us. Do you realize that we were once enemies with God? Do you know that God didn't look at us and say, oh, those are my enemies, so I'm just gonna take them out? No, he looked at us and he says, I'll stop at nothing to make them my friends. I'll stop at nothing to have a relationship with them. So what did he do? He sent his son Jesus to die for us. And Jesus, in the last moments of his life, in a conversation with his Father, in a conversation with God, he says, God, if there's any other way, let's do this differently. But ultimately, your will be done and not my own. And so he went to the cross for us. And because of that, we are friends of God today. We're not enemies. I think of what's going on in Iran right now, the country of Iran. Hundreds and thousands of young people are coming to Jesus. This isn't a country where it's completely not okay to talk about Jesus, to talk about Christianity. You risk your life in converting to Christianity. But what's happening is these young people are having encounters with other Christians, And what they're seeing is they're seeing something they've never seen before. They're seeing love. They're seeing grace. They're seeing life and forgiveness. And what they've been raised in, at least in this country with the Muslim faith, is hatred towards people that are outside of their faith and revenge and even hatred from God towards them. And so guess what's drawing them to repentance? Guess what's drawing them to become followers of Jesus Christ? Love, acceptance, forgiveness, light in the midst of darkness. There's multiple stories of Iranian men and women that are having dreams and visions of Jesus where he appears to them and he says, I love you. Now come and follow me. And it's interesting that this huge movement's happening in this nation of Iran when it's a nation that's completely closed off to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus pursues us no matter where we're at. Because he desires to have a relationship with us. And we have to remember that we get to be a part of that, whether we think that they are our enemies or not. It goes on to say there in the final verses of Matthew chapter 5, it says, if you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? So basically what it's saying here is, listen, how are you any different from the world if the only people you love are those that are right around you, that love you? How are you any different from the world? Do you know what sets us apart as Christians from this world? Is that we love people that don't love us back. Some people will never be able to love us back. Some people may love us back eventually, but that's what sets us apart. Jesus says, how are you any different? The other thing on this is he says, what reward will you get? You know what that shows me? It shows me time and time again that everything that Jesus tells us to do is because there is a reward attached to it. Now, we don't do it to get the reward. We do it out of obedience and because we know it makes a difference in people's lives. But I think it's fantastic to know that, man, if I just walk into this, and the reward that awaits me is so great from a God that loves to give good gifts. And I'm just convinced more and more today than I've ever been that if we will just stop saying but about everything, and start walking in obedience to the things that God has called us to do, that we're going to see things so differently and see rewards from God that we never even imagined coming towards us. You know what rewards are great for? When you get a reward, it makes you want to do it again, don't you? We have this vase, I'll end with this. We have this vase at our house. It's about this tall. And we bought these little fuzzy things, and we call them warm fuzzies. My wife came up with this. I think it's a brilliant idea. And every time my daughters do something good or clean without asking, or there's just something that we can celebrate, we put warm fuzzies in this vase. And then halfway up, there's a line. It's called the Froyo line. Frozen yogurt. You guys know what I'm talking about. We love frozen yogurt. And when it gets to that line, we go as a family and we celebrate with frozen yogurt. And then when it gets to the very top, it's something bigger that we decide when it gets to that time. And so what I've noticed with my daughters is that they when they get rewarded for something, like, oh, we got some warm fuzzies put in this vase, that then they turn around and are like, what can we do now? Like, we like this. Let's empty the dishwasher. And some might say, well, you're bribing your kids. Well, fine. All right? We see it as a reward. God does that with us, doesn't he? And it's teaching them to do the right thing. But what I've noticed is when you get a reward, you're inspired then to do more of that because you see. And again, it's this life, this fulfilling life, this abundant life that God wants to give us. And the more we see of it, the more we want it. So the more we desire to carry out the words of Jesus and to act on the things that he's called us to do. Sean, why don't you come up and let me just end with these last few things here. Three things, just real quickly. Don't live in hurts or in anger. If there's unforgiveness with someone in your life, listen, it's like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. And that's what unforgiveness is. And you know, all of us have opportunities to be hurt by people, have had people in our lives that have done damage in our lives, and have people that we see are out to get us. And listen, if you want freedom in your life, if you don't want to be in bondage, then you got to let go of that hurt. You got to let go of that anger. Be slow to anger, quick to forgive. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath. Matthew 18:21 on the subject of forgiveness is, Jesus is asked, how many times am I to forgive? And the question is, seven? And Jesus says, no, let's make it 70 times seven. And I'm not good at math, but I think that's like 490. I took out my calculator last night. 490, is that right? Any mathematicians here? So that's a lot. And I don't even think it stops there. I think Jesus is saying, no, not seven. Take it even further than that and continue, because unforgiveness doesn't hurt the other person. It hurts you. And so let go of that. Anger is such a difficult thing. Listen, I've struggled with anger in my life. I'll be honest with you. And I'm saying that because I know that there's people within this church where we struggle with anger. And I want to tell you something. One of the greatest things that we can do as men, and I'm talking to the men because I'm a man, but women as well, but we to get help in that area. Have people come alongside you that can help you in that. Give that up to God. Man, even a group, if you need to get involved in a group where it helps with anger management, ultimately we give it up to God, but then God brings people in our lives to help us with that. And it's such a freeing thing. The second thing is, and I'm just going to say it quickly, but we could talk about this forever. Pray for your enemies. It says it right there, Matthew 44, pray for those who persecute you. I gotta be honest, and this is a little rant right now, but on Facebook, I really hate it when people talk bad and hateful towards people in government, whether it be the president, because I just don't see how that does any good at all. It's certainly not biblical. The Bible says respect those in authority, honor them, pray for those, pray for your enemies. And so if someone's in office that isn't in the party that you like, or you're just so unhappy, listen, write your senators, get involved politically. That's a good thing. But don't on Facebook just be hateful. You know what I want to say to people when I see that? I want to say, turn off your stinking computers and pray for this person instead. Because what you're doing isn't doing any good. It's doing damage to yourself. It's just building up, and you're becoming this person that's going to explode. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those that have hurt you. Jesus said when you pray this way. And one of the sections on there is to say, God, forgive those who have trespassed against me. Help me to forgive them as well. And the best way that we can approach enemies in our lives is to pray for them. If you don't like the way they are and you want them to change, complaining isn't going to do anything, but prayer will. I had a person in college that was so hateful towards me, and God just said, just begin to pray for them. And I did. I prayed for him every day. And before long, we were friends. And that's the last one, is turn your enemy into your friend. It all starts with prayer. But Jesus did that one by one with us. Is one by one, he stood with us, not against us, so that he might win us. He might win us over, ultimately save our souls. But every one of us, if we'll be obedient to God, we'll see change in people's lives. But I think just as important, we'll see change in our own lives as well. So as we do this final song, I just want to invite you to just take some moments and think about in your life, if there's unforgiveness, if there's feelings, negative feelings towards people, if there's hurtful thoughts towards people, if there's anyone in your life that you have resentment towards or critical spirit towards, judgmental spirit towards, it's so important that you leave that here this morning. You leave that in this room. And that you walk out of here without that. That you allow Jesus to take that. Because again, it affects us so drastically. But if we'll do the opposite and forgive and pray, then that's when God can do something inside of our hearts. So just take these next moments. And if you can think of someone specifically, pray for them. Do the unthinkable and pray for someone that is, if you're a Democrat and they're a Republican, or they're a Republican, whatever it is, maybe someone at your work that you think they're out for your job or something like that, whatever the case may be, take the time to pray. Let's just take a few moments to do that this morning.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church,
Check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.